Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
But for today, I'm really excited to have on the line Ratnadeep Chakraborty, who is an Indian-born researcher and journalist currently based in Israel, where he's completing a PhD at Tel Aviv University, focusing on anti-Semitism with jihadist groups. He's also the author of the book, The Evolution of Israel's National Security Doctrine, A Journey from Ben-Gurion to Netanyahu. He has just released a revealing report on anti-Semitism in Pakistan and among Pakistani diaspora communities. Ratnadeep, thank you so much for joining us here on The Home Run. I wanted to ask you, where do anti-Semitic ideas in Pakistan come from and who's spreading them?
Firstly, thank you so much for having me. Well, anti-Semitism in Pakistan has deep historical, ideological, and institutional roots. Historically, if you look at it, even before Pakistan was created, Muslim League leaders linked Jewish identity with global conspiracies, portraying Zionism as a colonial plot. After independence, this evolved into a state ideology. Figures like Maududi, who is the founder of Jamaat-e-Islami, and a key ideological influence of the Muslim Brotherhood, preached that Jews were not just political enemies, but also theological enemies of Islam. He framed this entire Jewish people as a satanic force, calling them a threat to Islamic civilization. Now, this is a view which is echoed by a lot of Islamic clerics and parties today in Pakistan. Now, Pakistan state has also institutionalized hate. For example, in 2023, the Pakistan Senate wanted to pass a bill criminalizing Zionist activity. There was a senator, Maulana Abdul Ghaffar Haidari of the JUIF, which submitted a resolution in Pakistan's Senate endorsing Hamas attack as a historic operation of October 7. Now, this is just the state institutionalization. There is also the education of Pakistan, which is also a powerful driver of anti-Semitism. From an early age, you know, as early as 10 years, children are exposed to textbooks which portray Jews as deceitful, arrogant, and conspirational. So this is not just a bottom-up hate, it is a top-down indoctrination, which is sustained by politics, education, clerics, and even influences on social media. Like, for example, Veena Malik tweeted quotes falsely attributing to Hitler glorifying the Holocaust.
How much of what you have uncovered is tied to religious belief versus political ideology or misinformation?
It's a dangerous cocktail of all the three, because if you look at it, religiously, Jews are portrayed as enemies of Islam, not just based on real theological debate, but cherry-picking of stories and hadiths taken out of context. Now, these textbooks, which I was talking about initially, the school textbooks, talk about Jewish tribes as impure and worthy of expulsion by referring to Battle of Khaybar, taught as a sacred precedence for today's conflict. Now, politically, anti-Semitism has become a tool, a way for political parties to rally masses and discredit opponents. For example, former Prime Minister Imran Khan in Pakistan has been repeatedly branded as a Jewish agent by his rivals simply because he once married Jemima Goldsmith, a woman from a Jewish family. There's a popular theory in Pakistan called Operation Goldsmith, which says Imran Khan is a Jewish proxy who is trying to destabilize Pakistan. And there's misinformation as well, conspiracy theories about Jews borrowed heavily from the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that they are controlling the media, there's COVID-19, the global economy, and even Pakistani politics. Now, all these three, faith, politics, and fake news, fuse together in a worldview where Jews are seen as evil masterminds behind every global crisis.
Ratnadeep, did you find a difference in how anti-Semitism shows up inside Pakistan versus how it shows up in Pakistani communities abroad?
Yes, but the ideology is often the same. What changes is the expression. So, for example, inside Pakistan, you see anti-Semitism is very open and often state-endorsed. There are sermons on national TV about Jews being cursed and anti-Semitic slurs used casually in school and politics. In the diaspora communities, especially if you look at the US, the UK, Canada, and parts of Europe, this ideology sometimes becomes more coded, but as dangerous at a pro-Palestine rallies, for example, in cities like London and Toronto, we have seen signs with anti-Semitic slogans and Holocaust denials and glorification of Hamas. In March 2023, if I give you an example, two Pakistani nationals were arrested in Greece for plotting attacks on Jewish targets, showing how imported this hate turns into transnational terror.
Mm.
So diaspora community members often carry the same biases that we see in Pakistan, because they have learned through the same Pakistani schools, went to the same Pakistani mosque, and consumed the same Pakistani media. The hate travels, and sometimes it escalates.
Your report looks at anti-Semitism in a country with hardly any Jews. Can your findings be used to understand other countries where there are few or no Jews, and yet there's still anti-Semitism? Or are your findings applicable only to Pakistan?
Absolutely. Pakistan is a textbook example of anti-Semitism without Jews, which is a term coined by historian Robert Wistrich. Many countries with few or no Jews, like Malaysia, Indonesia, even parts of the Arab world, still have deeply anti-Semitic cultures, even without a visible Jewish presence. It is inherited through education, propaganda, and ideology. Studying Pakistan will actually help us understand how anti-Semitism becomes a tool of identity formation, a way to define who belongs and who doesn't. It's not about Jews, it's about power, control, and scapegoating. And it shows how anti-Semitism can become a global export, even in places where Jews don't live.
I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, it's a bit of a personal question, but you yourself are born in India and you are not Jewish, and yet you're studying anti-Semitism in Pakistan. So what brought you to that point? Why did you decide to pursue that line of study?
Well, if you have seen, as you were mentioning, I wrote a book about national security of Israel, and I'm more visibly interested in the regional geopolitics of Israel, the national security. But what changed for me was October 7. It wasn't merely an abstract war far from my home. These weren't just names that I saw on the news. They were places that I know, the streets that I've walked. I've spoken to people who lived there, and seeing those familiar faces under attack made it very personal and deeply painful. But what changed more for me was what happened after October 7, which was equally chilling, a global wave of anti-Semitism. I saw Jewish friends abroad were being threatened, harassed, and criminalized for just being Jewish. The world's empathy shifted within the next 24 hours from mourning to blaming Israel, from grieving Israelis to justifying Hamas. And this hit me that if it's happening in the West, what was brewing in regions like South Asia that have institutionalized hatred for decades, especially in Pakistan and Bangladesh? Now, Pakistan is a country that I've studied closely, and it has harbored deep-rooted anti-Semitic ideologies. Yet I've seen very less research have been done on the same. And hence, I felt it was my moral responsibility as someone who understands the region and knows the language to write and talk about this after October 7.
Talking about October the 7th, what role has October 7th played, and has it played a role in fueling anti-Semitic sentiment in Pakistan and also among Pakistan communities abroad?
Well, October 7 acted like, let's say, a spark to a fuel tank. Within days, you have seen Hamas leaders were invited to speak at rallies in Pakistan. Political parties like the JUIF and Jamaat-e-Islami held mass demonstration glorifying the attacks. The Pakistani Senate passed a resolution in support of Hamas, and state-backed media amplified Hamas propaganda. But, and this is crucial, that Pakistan did not become anti-Semitic after October 7. It already was. The attacks simply mainstreamed the hate that was there. Suddenly, praise for Hamas became a badge of honor.
And I wanted to just ask you one last thing, talking about the Hamas attacks. Why do you think Israel and Jews are such a fixation in some parts of Pakistani discourse?
Well, Israel and Jews, by extension, represents a mythical enemy that Pakistani leaders, clerics, and media loves to rally against. It is not just, you know, about Palestine. It's about the ideology and identity that Pakistan was created to be a homeland for Muslims. Its military doctrine, its national identity, and even its nuclear program have framed as defending Islamic values. In fact, Pakistan's nuclear bomb is often described in political discourse as an Islamic bomb, and there have been suggestions that it could be used to protect not just Pakistan, but the entire Muslim Ummah, including Palestine. Now, to give you an example, in December 2023, after the October 7 attacks, at an anti-Israel conference in Islamabad, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh requested Pakistan to intervene militarily, saying Pakistan is a strong country. If Pakistan threatens Israel, then the war can stop. So Jews, especially Israeli Jews, becomes the perfect other, powerful, non-Muslim, and tied to a state that Pakistani ideology views as illegitimate, much like the Hindus in India. Now, this obsession is not about geopolitics per se. It's about projection. And Israel is the mirror which Pakistan sees everything it fears. Modernity, liberalism, democracy, and even religious pluralism.
We're just having a question that came in from one of our listeners saying if, and it's related to the point you were making about what's going on in Gaza. The question is, can Israel's killings in Gaza, is that not a reason for causing anti-Semitism? And I guess he means both in Pakistan and globally, but specifically in Pakistan.
Oh, as I said, this is something which has started even before October 7. Pakistani communities and Pakistan state did not meet on October 7 and Israel's actions hence after in Gaza to be anti-Semitic. It did amplify the hate, it did mainstream the hate, and it did make the otherization of Jews and victimization of the Palestinians more mainstream in the narrative. But it has always been the same. Pakistan, of anything that goes wrong in Pakistan, the Pakistani media and the Pakistani politician will always come and blame the Indian and the Israelis. So it's not just that after October 7 and what Israel is doing in Gaza is a result of the anti-Semitism in Pakistan.
And Ratnadeep, I'm thinking while you're talking that could part of the reason for today's anti-Semitism in Pakistan be the fact that while Pakistan once had a small and visible Jewish community, it no longer does. So could their absence be part of today's anti-Semitism and actually what happened to the Jewish community?
I would say it might, because there is not a visible community that we see in Pakistan who could come and actually counter the hate which we see otherwise happening. Because if we have seen in Pakistan, for example, after independence in 1948, most of the Jewish community disappeared. And there is no visible Jewish community. Less than 200 Jewish community members live in Pakistan. And hence, it makes it very difficult for them to come and defend themselves out there. I absolutely agree with you, because anti-Semitism only thrives when it's unchecked. And with no Jewish voices to counter the narrative, it just grows.
Anton, we have 30 seconds. One more question from a listener. How much of India being fairly close to Israel contributes to anti-Semitism?
It does to a certain extent, and I wouldn't deny it. But as I said, that to give you an example, India did not officially recognize Israel before 1990s. In 1948, for example, after the creation of Israel, anti-Semitic violence escalated after the Arab-Israeli War. The Magen Shalom Synagogue in Karachi was vandalized and demolished. And by 1980s, even when Israel was not recognized officially by India, most of the Jews have fled. So in the current discourse, might be, but historically, if you look at it, Pakistan has always been anti-Semitic as a community, as a state.
How very, very interesting. Ratnadeep Chakraborty, who has just released a revealing report on anti-Semitism in Pakistan and among Pakistani diaspora communities. Thank you so much for sharing your insight and your knowledge with us here on High FM. We appreciate it.